Good morning. My name is Angela, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE investor call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Peter Vanley. You may begin your conference.
Thank you, and hello, everyone, and welcome to the NBPE Investor Update Call. This is Peter Vanley, and I'm joined today by my partner, John Boozer. As always, you can find the presentation we'll be referring to on our website, which is www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. So turning to that presentation, page one, you can see, as many of you, I'm sure, know, Neuberger Berman is a 70-year-old investment management firm with approximately $199 billion of assets under management across equities, fixed income, and alternatives. We have 1,700 employees in 27 cities worldwide. We have strong investment performance across the product ranges that we manage here at Neuberger, and we are an employee-owned and controlled firm. Turning to page two, you can see a bit more about NBPE. NBPE, as you know, is a closed-end investment company that invests in an actively managed portfolio of private equity investments, and that includes the direct and co-investments, direct yielding investments, as well as funds. We listed in July of 2007. We have a market cap of approximately $338 million and net assets of approximately $545 million. Our shares are trade on both the Euronext Amsterdam as well as the LSE, and our ZDP shares trade on the LSE. Our current portfolio is 70% in private equity funds, 30% in direct and co-investments. 64% of our NAV was invested in 2008 or later, so we have a portfolio that's better suited, we believe, for the current market environment. And we're 79% invested in North America. Our investment strategy, as we've previously announced, is to continue to increase our exposure to direct investments, and we're actively pursuing direct equity co-investments and direct yielding investments, and John and I will be spending some time talking about some of those in more detail today. With that, I'd like to hand it over to John to go through some of our financial metrics.
Thanks, Peter. So if you turn on to page three of the presentation, you'll see the high-level financial metrics for NBPE as of the end of the month, May 31st. You see that we've had an increase per share of NAV of 6.3% in 2011, followed by an additional 1% thus far during the first 5 months of 2012. As you look down through some of the detailed data, we have a column on the right that's the audited information as of December 31st, and then the unaudited information on the left column as of May 31st. Looking at the major changes there, as Peter described, we're doing more direct and co-investments, and you'll see an increase of 100 from 136.9 to 164.6 in the direct and co-investments. And then the other change that's of significance there is 77.9 of cash and cash equivalents at year end has decreased to 56.8 as we've made these additional investments. As of the end of May, the net asset value per share was $11.14. The portfolio activity described at the bottom of the page shows that during 2012, we've had approximately $60 million of amounts that we've invested in new investments, and we've received back from our retiring investments approximately $50 million, so $10 million of net new investments by the portfolio. You also see a short summary at the very bottom of where the changes in the net asset value came during May, and with the couple-month retrenchment in the stock markets, the underlying public securities that are held by some of the funds that we're investors in were marked to lower markets. You can see $6 million of decline on a net basis of unrealized losses on public securities during May, resulting in most of the decrease in NAV that occurred from the end of April to the end of May. If you flip on to page four, as Peter mentioned, we continue to be a very broadly diversified private equity portfolio, diversified by asset class and tactically positioned for the current market environment. 30% of our investments are in direct co-investments, and the major portion of that, 24%, are in buyout investments. If you look at the pie chart at the right, you'll see we have two significant overweights by asset class. If you add up all the special situation funds, direct yielding investments, and special situation direct and co-investments, that's 37% of our portfolio. If you add up the mid-cap buyout co-investments and mid-cap buyout funds, it's 34%. So those are the two tactical focuses most evident in our portfolio. Moving on to page five, again, as Peter mentioned in the highlights, you can see on this page a pie chart that shows the timing of deployment in each of the underlying portfolio companies of our cash into investment. And you can see we've had a consistent continuing deployment post the financial crisis, so 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2012 continue to have significant new companies in the portfolio, and we think, given the tactical approach, it's very positive to have this new capital going into the ground consistently, and the long-term prudent financial position we've kept NBP in has allowed us to continue to diversify into new companies over the last 3 and 4 years. Flipping on to page six, this shows the percent of fair value deployed in different time periods, upper left 2007 and earlier, down through different time periods, lower right deployed in 2011 and year-to-date 2012. So you can see 22% of the fair value was deployed in 2011 and year-to-date 2012. And as Peter indicated, the continued focus on additional co-investments, you can see the various co-invest parts of the pie deployed in 2011 and 2012 make up the majority, along with direct yielding investments of the capital deployed during that period. If you move on to page seven of the geographic asset allocation, you see it's 79% North America, 17% Europe, and 4% rest of the world. We have a predominant exposure to North America in the portfolio, and we expect tactically this exposure to North America will continue for the foreseeable future. Page eight is our recent portfolio activity in terms of capital calls and direct co-investments, the money that we deployed in new companies on the left side of the chart, and on the right side, the money that's come back to $50.3 million from old companies being realized. And you see on the distributions and sales proceeds, it's very well diversified across the buyout funds, the special situation funds, which as some of those earlier special situations investments in 2008 and 2009 we made are past their investment period and they're tending to be in a liquidation mode. We're receiving substantial cash both in NBPE across our other portfolios from those funds. In addition, you see the direct co-investments and direct yielding investments also providing current cash flow back to NBPE. On the left side, you see our predominant use of cash since the beginning of 2012 has been in the direct co-investment area, as we discussed, as we try to reposition the portfolio to have a somewhat higher position in those sorts of investments as we go forward. Page nine talks about that increasing allocation, direct co-investments and yielding investments and how we're implementing that strategy. We've already committed $250 million of capital to executing this strategy, $200 million commitment to the NB Alternatives Direct Co-Investment Program and $50 million to the NB Healthcare Credit Investment Program. We expect those dollars to be deployed in 2012, 13, and 14 for the largest part of those dollars. As of May 31st, we funded $43.3 million of that $250 million across those two programs. We intend to continue to increase our direct yielding investments in private companies, including mezzanine investments. We have because of our 60 investment professionals focused on relationships with GPs around the globe, we have a very high access to those sorts of investments and tend to pick some of the best and include those in the NBPE portfolio. Our expectation is, if you go out 2 years from now, that the majority of the portfolio will be in direct co-investments combined with direct yielding investments at that point. We expect to have a ratio, today we estimate approximately 60% in the direct co-investments and 40% in the direct yielding investments at that time. Obviously, these are based on where we think the best opportunities are over the next several years as we evaluate each investment on investment by investment, case by case basis. Page 10 is a summary of the direct co-investments that are equity investments that we've made since the beginning of 2011. And they currently represent 11.6% of NBPE NAV. In particular, on the next page, we're going to focus on the three that were made since the start of the year, American Dental Partners, Blue Coat, and Gabriel. So if you turn to page 11, we can talk about those new investments. American Dental Partners is a provider of administrative office management services to dental practices in the U.S. Currently, they have approximately 280 facilities with 570 dentists. That's a co-investment that we made alongside JLL Partners, which has had a successful track record in healthcare investments in the United States. The thesis of the investment is a secular trend towards outsourcing of dental office administration services so the dentists can really focus on their expertise, which is providing dental services. We think there's, and JLL thinks there's, a significant opportunity to expand through de novo offices and consolidate a market that, as you can imagine, is very fragmented among solo practitioner and small groups of dentists around the areas in which these practices already exist. Second investment for us is Blue Coat Systems. That's an investment we made alongside Thoma Bravo, and we'll talk in a couple pages or the next page about another investment that we've realized alongside Thoma Bravo. We are an investor in their funds, and we believe they're one of the best private equity investors in their space with an especially strong track record in the software as a service business model. Blue Coat itself provides web security and has also added velocity acceleration products and sells those to very large companies. It has global client base. The thesis is predicated mainly on continued strong secular growth as more and more emphasis is created by all sorts of size enterprises to making sure that they are secure in their technology and that they've optimized how their network functions. So we think it's the right company in the right sector, and we also think it's the right GP, Thoma Bravo, leading that transaction. And it says in the last bullet point there, we've previously created and co-invested in a similar business in NDPE with Thoma Bravo. And the final new investment over that first part of 2012 for co-investment is Gabriel Brothers Stores. It's an off-price realtor that operates in the mid-Atlantic states and southeastern states of the United States. It buys merchandise from vendors at deep discounts due to stock overruns, closeouts, minor irregularities, and then resells the product at a favorable price to the consumer. We invested alongside A&M Capital, a middle market private equity firm focused on undermanaged companies. They bring extraordinary operational expertise from a large pool of executives with C-level experience that they have at their disposal to bring into these companies. And certainly, as we did diligence alongside them, we saw the ability to drop in two excellent executives into this company and increase the management focus on growing this business. We believe this is an attractive opportunity in a slow growth environment in the U.S., given consumers are trending towards better value-oriented products. And then page 12 is a realization, as I mentioned, of Sonic Wall. As it says in the investment thesis part of the page, has a leading industry position in the technology threat management basis. So much like the other investment we did with Thoma Bravo, again, this is a software business that helps companies keep their networks secure from outside invaders and also allow access to the clients who they need to access. It has a high recurring revenue subscription-based model, which is very common in the Thoma Bravo portfolio, and it's the sort of business that Thoma Bravo has had excellent work with. So we invested both in the equity and in the debt of this company. There is a very quick realization of this company after improving significantly the EBITDA over a very short investment period from July 2010. Sonic Wall was recently sold to Dell Inc. for both an attractive return on the equity and the debt. So this has proven to be a very successful investment for NBPE, adding to its net asset value and part of our great relationship with Thoma Bravo. So with that, I'll turn it over to Peter, who's going to talk a little bit more about the direct investment portfolio we've been developing.
Thanks, John. As we've talked about, we're doing the direct equity investments that John was describing, but also direct yielding investments. And you have a similar chart here on page 13 that actually shows the direct yielding investments we've done since the beginning of 2011. Those represent 2.7% of NBPE's current net asset value. They have a weighted average yield to maturity of 20.6%, which is obviously very, very strong. And three of the four investments are part of our health care credit program that we've described in the past. And one is a debt security. They're PIK notes in a company in which we originally made an equity co-investment back in 2007. All of these transactions are performing well at or ahead of plan, and we expect to be increasing our exposure to these types of investments, meaning yielding investments, in the near future. Of course, this will be based upon the opportunities that are available. One of the questions we're asked is, do we continue to expect to be able to find these types of transactions given the low interest rate environment that we're in? And it's an excellent question, but actually what we're finding is that despite the low interest rate environment, we are continuing to see interesting transactions. They tend to be more in niche areas like our healthcare credit program or in the corporate area, where the companies are not necessarily they're good companies, but not necessarily companies that are a good fit for the capital markets. And so those continue to be places where we are able to find attractive direct yielding investments. Turning to page 14, we continue to have our timely and transparent approach to valuations. If you look at the valuations we've been talking about in this presentation, and our most up-to-date information is as of May 31st. The net asset value information we have as of May 31st, actually 32% of the NAV is actually valued with that record date of May 31. An additional 67% is valued as of March 31st, and only 1% is still as of December. Turning to page 15, you can see with our capital position, we continue to have our strong capital position. We currently have a 99% commitment coverage ratio. We have unfunded commitments of just over $308 million. That's the full legal unfunded commitments, and that even includes unfunded commitments for funds are past their invested period and are unlikely to be drawn. Our total capital resources are $306.8 million, and that leaves us pretty much with a close to 100% commitment coverage ratio. As we have discussed in the past, we're currently in discussions to amend our existing credit facility and including to extend its maturity. On page 16, you can see the graph of the progression of our net asset value per share, which has been going up this year, except for the drop that we experienced in May that John described earlier. We're currently at a discount to NAV. The discount's narrowed a little bit to about 36 or so percent, still wider than we think is appropriate, and we continue to take efforts to focus on that issue. On page 17, you can see in terms of our trading liquidity, we have from year to date in 2012. The cumulative trading volume was 3.5 million shares, 2.8 million was traded on exchange, and 0.7 million was traded over the counter. That comes to the average daily trading volume of about 33,000 shares per day. Turning to page 18, our capital return policy, as you know, our capital return policy is that we will take for each half-year period 50% of the net realized increase in NAV, and go and return that to our shareholders in whatever form the directors considered to be most appropriate. Now, what that has actually meant is up until now, it's taken the form of share repurchases. We've actually gone and continued that policy with about 260,000 shares purchased during the month of May alone, at an average price of $7.03. All in, since the beginning of that program in 2010, late 2010, we've added about 16 cents to NAV per share from share repurchases. And just also, as we've described earlier, our continuing focus on the direct yielding investments, we think that over time that will also give the company additional flexibility to be able to pay dividends out of income if we deem that to be the most appropriate course of action at the board of director level. So on page 19, you can see our ZDP share price as well as the NAV for our ZDPs. They continue to trade at a premium. They're a 10% premium currently and have a GRY of 5.3% based on the prevailing price. So in summary, we believe NBP continues to offer compelling investment opportunity with an experienced investment manager and a strong long-term track record, high-quality private equity portfolio, increased allocations to direct private equity and yielding investments, capital available for new investments, and importantly, a capital return policy to actually return capital to shareholders for the benefit of those shareholders. So with that, I'd like to thank all of you for participating and open it up to any questions you may have.
At this time, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from Nasia Simington with Jefferies.
Hi, it's Louisa Simington with Jefferies. I've got three questions, so two of them very quick. Firstly, what's the current level of unfunded commitments that you don't expect to be called, either the sale?
There are a number of those, particularly coming from our special, some are from the older buyout funds, but mostly are from the special situations funds. We have not published a specific number, but that's something that we can do in the future of what percentage of those are coming out of their, who are out of their investment periods. In fact, most of our special situations funds are either already out of the investment period or will be out of their investment period within the next 12 months.
Okay. And then just on slide 8, Sonic will, according to the main fact sheet, Sonic will realize $10.1 million, I think. I was just slightly confused as to how that's reflected in the distributions chart on slide 8, whether you allocated that under the direct co-investment or the direct yielding.
We haven't broken out the specific numbers here for confidentiality reasons, but what we can tell you is the debt security we owned is put under the direct yielding investments, and the equity we owned in the company is put under the equity. So actually, part of Sonic Wall is in each of those two sections.
Got it. Okay. And the last question is: it'd be useful if you could give a brief update on current pricing in the secondaries market, and just perhaps say whether you would consider any further opportunistic fund sales to accelerate the portfolio repositioning towards directs.
I guess on the last point about the would we consider it, the answer is yes. As we always tell secondary people who call us that for the right price, anything in our portfolio is for sale. But importantly, the key issue there is always the key sticking point tends to be price, not our willingness to sell. As I say, our job is to maximize value for shareholders. So if we think the way we can maximize value for our shareholders is by selling an asset, we absolutely will. And you've seen that we've been active both on the buy side and on the sell side in the secondary market based upon what we thought was most appropriate. And so we welcome bids. The issue, though, is one where, is it appropriately priced? So it's something we're always considering, but always depends upon the pricing. John, do you want to talk about the pricing overall in the secondary market?
If you'd asked the question several months ago prior to Europe being less uncertain, I think the secondary market was a bit more robust and therefore the discounts being offered were somewhat less than they would be today. I think people are being more cautious in their purchasing right now, wondering, where the market will be in 2 or 3 months. And as a result, I think you've seen a slight widening of the discounts as you sit here focused on just today as compared to where we were earlier in the year.
But once again, the actual level of discount varies materially asset by asset. So some assets could go and just generically in private equity, not speaking specifically about anything in our portfolio. Some things might have a market clearing price in the low 70s. Others might have a market clearing price in the high 90s. As a percentage of NAV. It's all just a question of the relative valuation.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Michael Stern with Mirren Capital Management.
Hey there, guys. Thanks for hosting the call, as always. I was just wondering if there were any thoughts you could share on the likely disposition of the Lehman Brothers shares or the former Lehman Brothers shares.
It's a matter of public record, of course, that the Lehman Brothers estate owns about 15 million or so shares of NBPE. We don't have anything to disclose on that point. Obviously, if they were to sell shares, that would become a disclosable event because of the level of ownership they have in the company. We'll just repeat as we always have, which is they, as a matter of law, are required to look to maximize value for the creditors of Lehman. We, from a company perspective, are focused on the best interests of our shareholders as a whole, and looking to do what's in the best interest of all the shareholders of NBPE. So those are the key things that guide both of us, I guess, is the best way to think of that. But no specific factual updates at this time.
Your next question comes from Luis Margolis with Select Advisors.
Good morning. Your presentation material, like ever, is terrific. One really has to compliment you on creating such a strong, prudently managed company. The only area where I would like to hear you speak about, if you buy $1 million worth of stock, you immediately book better than 50% gain. And given the performance over the last couple, 3 years, and the potential, I guess, for the next few years, it seems like a 50% today, very attractive number relative to the realistic expectation of what you can earn over the next 3 years. Having said that, I've been a buyer recently at 7. I think it's almost impossible to have a permanent loss of capital. But why aren't you buying more, I think, is the specific question.
Sure, and thanks, Lou, and thanks for your support. As you know, the company has bought stock. May was a meaningful month for the company purchasing stock. We're obviously under the plan. Stock has to be available for sale for the company to be able to be buying it. Also, we have a number of things to manage, which is, we've had our capital return policy that says that we'll return at least 50% of our net realized increase in NAV. We've actually been doing significantly more than that since the beginning of the program. So the company has been active in going and returning capital to shareholders, and absolutely plans on continuing, to do that. I think the factors that the board has to consider is, of course, the long-term best interest of the company, which there's a value from having an accretive share purchase, and we've absolutely been strong in doing those. We also need to be factoring in the safety of the capital structure of the company. And, of course, we have to be factoring in the ongoing liquidity of the stock as well. So that's a key factor as well, making sure that the stock continues to be as liquid as possible for investors, because we think that's something that is important for trading volumes and therefore, having net buyers of the stock. But it is something we're always looking into, and, we're absolutely disappointed, of course, of where the discount at which the stock is trading, and the board continues to be very active in considering all the various options that we have for returning capital to shareholders and doing other activities to narrow that discount. I mean, the broader issue we face is that we're roughly in line with where the sector is right now, which is not something that we're comfortable about or happy about. But it is something that we have to look at the market environment in which NBPE trades, and so that is something we have to be thinking about as well.
With due respect, the current shareholders are here to see the net asset value appreciate over the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And there is no surer way with any degree of certainty than buying in the stock. In May, I acknowledge that you bought almost somewhat under 300,000, which is about 2/3% of your assets. I don't understand why you don't take every share offered. The implicit return comparison is on everything you're doing, you've got to earn 14-16% to get anywhere comparable to buying the stock. And you don't get close to that in the last several years, in the recovery years. I think you have to take it up with the board to look at buying in more stock than you have been. That's my personal suggestion.
Well, we will take that under advisement, but the board does discuss at every board meeting the strategy with respect to purchasing more stock. And we will, of course, do it again, and we will make sure we share your comments with the board as a perspective of a shareholder who follows us closely.
Thank you. But in general, I got to tell you, you're the class in the show, in the terms of private equity fund to funds. You're what everybody is tries to be.
Well, we appreciate both your question and then your nice compliment.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time. And at this time, gentlemen, you have no further questions.
Well, thank you, everyone, for your interest and your participation. We very much welcome the feedback of all of our shareholders. So feel free, either on these calls or on a more direct basis, to contact us with any of your thoughts and suggestions. They're very much appreciated. So thank you very much, and have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.